The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for mothers. We thank you for families, Lord. We thank you for children, even if they do interrupt. And we praise you for all of the children that you've gathered here today amongst us. As I speak of the birthday of the church and your great coming amongst us, lighten our hearts, open our ears, so that we might hear, that we might grasp, and we might grow in your word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The birthday of the church, Pentecost. It's a Jewish feast. They still celebrate it. It's known as the Feast of Weeks. It signified the completion of the barley harvest. And many Jews came from all over the diaspora, the separation, all over the Roman Empire at that time to celebrate in Jerusalem this feast. And that's why all of those languages were heard as you listened to the account of Luke from Acts. Jewish people from around about the Roman Empire gathered in Jerusalem to observe this great religious holiday. And many of them saw and experienced much more than they could have ever imagined or hoped for as the feast came to an end. Or as Luke writes it, Pentecost was fully come. The feast was just about over. And the promise of Jesus came to pass. Another comforter came to be with his followers. They were gathered in one place in obedience to what he had said. Stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. And they had no idea what that meant. But they were afraid of the authorities who had killed their leader. And so they gathered behind closed doors in an upper room, about 120 of them, in obedience. They were waiting for whatever Jesus had said would happen. Gather, he said, and wait for power from on high. What would it look like? How would it come? What would it do? And what would we be able to do as a result of it? Because heaven knows, we don't know where to start now to live Christ's life or what to do with it. And then a sound. Bible says it's a sound like unto wind. Was it wind? I don't know. Then these tongues of flames that came and settled on people. Were they flames? I don't know. Bible says they were like that. And I think what they did was alerted the 120 that something very special was going on. Something very special was going on. The long-promised strengthening to live the life that Christ had instructed them. Another comforter was sent to follow Jesus. And this group were energized to display and to relay this gracious gift of God to all believers. And they could be seen by believer and unbeliever alike. So even those who did not yet follow Jesus could see something different was happening. The church militant was born on earth that day. And here they were going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit out of that door where they'd been hiding, down into the street, up into the temple. Nothing stopped them. And they were glorifying God and waving their hands and speaking in tongues and carrying on like mad things. As a matter of fact, some people thought they were and thought they'd lost it. And some of them, and understand that most of these were Jews that were watching, Jews from all over the diaspora. And what they started to say is, what is this? What is this? What's going on here? And then somebody else, in a very cynical way, said, they've all been into the new wine. They're drunk. They must be. And Peter, who'd been walking in the Spirit for nearly an hour, reverted to his old self, didn't he? He jumped to his feet and he said, no, not at all. We haven't even had breakfast yet. We haven't even had breakfast. And you know jolly well, we Jews don't take wine until our main meal. And he's saying, looking at his wristwatch, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Just a little funny. Okay, it was the third hour. The third hour. 9 o'clock, and we don't drink. We're not drunk, but we're so full of the Lord right now, we can't contain it. We can't contain it. Anybody been like that? Have you been so full of the Lord you couldn't contain him, and it felt like you were drunk? Been there, done that. Been there, done that. And it had to happen to me because I was so stubborn and so old before the Lord got my attention. But when he got my attention, I was high as a kite. I suddenly realized that all the things I'd been doing for 30 or 40 years really were true, even though I was just doing them. I was going to church. I was singing in the choir. I was doing all the right things. But I had no relationship with Jesus Christ, and I didn't know the comfort that was given. When the comfort is given, you do all these silly things that the 120 did as they went out into the streets and up into the temple, praising God, speaking in tongues, and speaking in tongues, shouting hallelujah, and letting the world know they were no longer afraid of anything the world could do to them. They were willing to speak the word of God, no matter where it took them. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And here they were. But something else happened. It was not just the miracle of power upon them and this questioning and this, they must be drunk. This must be drunk. Peter decided he had to explain what was going on. And it led to the first sermon that we have recorded in the church militant here on earth. Peter started to preach. I don't know how many years he had in theological school. He did walk with Jesus. And he did learn a lot. But I don't think he had fully grasped that his skills, his abilities were not entirely up for what was needed. The moment the Holy Spirit moved into him, he let go. And he stood up and he said, now, you listen to me. And he started to unfold God's plan from the beginning and to tell them what was going on. I want to talk about that life-changing event in the upper room, the dimensions and the nature of which was not visible or even conceived of by the disciples themselves as they received it. They knew something was happening and they went and did something. This is important. Whenever we ask the Lord to do something for us or in us, don't just sit there, assume it's been done and go and do something. Well, they started to talk. They opened their mouth. Out flowed praise. Then they got up and went outside. Now, that's a good action. Get up and go outside and see if something happens. Okay, take this message with you outside the church and into the town. Understand that you don't have to say a lot. Peter said a lot. I don't know where he got all his facts from, but he was able to run down God's entire plan for changing people into a new creation so that they could walk and talk as children of God. That's a complete change. And unless we are changed when that happens, we can't do it. If we come to church and we make an altar call and we give our lives to Jesus and we turn around and go out and nothing has changed, something's wrong. Something's wrong. When we receive Jesus Christ, something must change. We're a different people. We're a people of God. And we are now enabled by the gift of the Holy Spirit to walk. To walk in. And this is what Peter starts to tell them. And he starts to tell them that God has rescued us and that he planned this from the beginning. And that the crucifixion of Christ was God's idea. He thought about it from the beginning. He was redeeming us through Christ. And nothing could have stopped it. Nothing could have stopped it because it was God's plan from the beginning. And what Peter was saying to them was, this is the only way into the new life in Christ. This is still the only way into membership for the church militant. This is still the only salvation route. And Peter explains this to them when they say, with broken hearts, looking at Peter, what shall we do? And he sums it up. And this is the short form, and I think it's one that we should warn. As they speak to this to Peter, he says, repent. Repent. Repentance is a gift from God, a gift of the Holy Spirit. So, that's going to be given you when your ears are open. That's another miracle, isn't it? Once you hear the gospel, that's a gift. Once you repent, that's a gift. And that's for the forgiveness of you. Then you have a choice. Are you going to walk the way God has arranged for us? There is no other way. There is no other way into heaven. You can be as good as you like. But your goodness is like filthy rags. The only way to be good is to be undercover, under the cover of the Lord. And this is what Peter says in his first sermon. Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Big time, eh? You shall receive the Holy Spirit. You're equipped now, and you're equipped, and you're not whipped off the face of the earth. Right, Maureen? You're not whipped off the face of the earth. You're left behind. Why are you left behind? You're left behind because you now have a treasure you have to share. You've got a treasure you have to share. You can't keep on it. You can't sit on it. Too many people out there are going to hell. You have been equipped to say to them, God loves you. And he's made full provision for you to come to him forever. That's all you have to say. You don't have to have a degree in theology. You have to know that God loves all of his creatures and he has made provision for all of them to come to him forever through Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's good news. I don't care what anybody says. And you're all equipped to do it if you have Christ in you by his Spirit. Let nothing stand in your way of entering into this life, then let nothing stand in your way of carrying it out. A whole bunch of people need to hear it. Don't let them go to hell. Speak. God loves them. God wants them. Let us pray. Oh, Jacob is fussy. Give Jacob. Father, you call us to enter into life in the Spirit, for apart from you, we can do nothing. May our hearts always be open to the wooing of your Spirit, and may we be so yielded to your Spirit that we can move mightily in our midst to accomplish your holy will, establish unity and concord in our midst, and lead us into all that you purpose for our future together. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.